This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Hello, everybody. This is Readers Entertainment Radio with Patricia W. Fisher, and I hope everyone's having a really good Thursday, or Thorsday, as we kind of like to say around here. Looking forward to the newest Avenger movie starting tomorrow with Captain Marvel, of course. Looking very excited. I've been counting the days down for that. And wondering if there's any surprise cameos for any of those other Avengers. But always a big shout-out to Thor, Chris Hemsworth. So you're always welcome to come on the show. Open invitation. But today we have author Maggie Aldrich. She is an avid reader, freelance writer, and yoga instructor who tends to catastrophize all situations. I really like that word. I'm going to have to keep it. And in all these things, people said, please go write a book, and she did. So she's the winner of the 2017 Best Street Aldrich Short Story Competition in the adult division. She lives in Anchorage in Middle America with her husband, daughter, cats, and other various unattended wild animals. And she enjoys writing romantic comedies, chick lit, and speculative fiction, and has occasionally been accused of profiling family members in her work, which she would never admit to, I'm sure. Her latest book is It's All Greek to Me is out now, and you can find her at Facebook, Twitter, and Goodreads. All those links are in the write-up of the show. So welcome to the show, Maggie. How are you today?
Oh, thank you. I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. So it's been kind of crazy weather around here. So what's going on where you are with weather-wise?
We had about 5 inches of snow last night, which was completely unexpected. So got a phone call this morning at about 6 o'clock that school was canceled. So that's been fun.
I guess so. Yeah. And you have a daughter. How is she in middle school and high school?
She's an eighth grader.
Okay. So she's really looking forward to the day at home, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. She slept most of the morning.
I was going to say, how late did she sleep? Yeah. Exactly. So it says you've always been a reader. So tell me the kind of books that you just couldn't wait to get your hands on when you were growing up.
Oh, growing up, I was a huge Nancy Drew fan. I've always read mysteries. So Nancy Drew, Encyclopedia Brown, you know, things like that. When I was little, those were my favorites, absolute favorites, and I still love mysteries.
So what are your favorites as an adult?
As an adult, my favorite author is Sue Grafton, who sadly died a couple of years ago before she could write her Z mystery, which broke my heart, but I'm over it.
I know.
I own all of her books. I have them on display in my house. I just love the Kinsey Millhone character. I always say, if I was a single person, that would be me if I lived in the 80s, because I just absolutely love her character. She's hilarious. She's very independent, yet she's kind of an introvert. I just love her.
So, but your first book that you wrote for the book that's out now, It's All Greek to Me, is not a mystery.
Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of mystery in it. I call it a rom-com story, so it's a romantic, humorous mystery.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about this book.
Sure. It's about a young woman who's kind of been a diva her whole life, and suddenly she loses everything. Her parents are killed. Her trust fund is tied up in a scandal. She loses her cush job and her home, and even her cat runs away, and she's forced to take the last job suited for a woman like herself, which is a sorority house mom. And it's kind of a fun book about reinventing, how she reinvents herself. There's a little humor. There's a little mystery that's always in the background of the book. And there's, of course, a little bit of romance, too. So it's a quick and easy read for people have called it cozy mystery. People have called it chick lit. People have called it romantic comedy. So there's a little bit of several different genres in it.
And why did you choose this story? What was the catalyst to make you choose this one?
You know, I like strong female characters. I think there are far too many books out there where women are portrayed as not very intelligent and the man has to come in and save the woman. And I just don't like that. I want something my daughter can read where she can say, okay, there's a strong woman, or maybe there's a woman that was broken who made herself stronger. But I also, I'm a sarcastic person in my daily life, and so I like to throw that into my characters too, so I like to add a little bit of humor. And, you know, you always have to add a little bit of romance. It makes the book a little bit more fun. So, I really love the character, and I had a lot of fun writing the book.
So how did you come up with the idea to have the youngest house mom for sorority? Because that's like a whole new thing. I mean, you know, you get all these things like people go back to school and then they rush, and there's a bit, I mean, for someone young to become the house mom, that's different.
Mm-hmm. Right. I pull a lot of my inspiration just from stories in my own life or things I see in my own life. Like, you know, I said my mom always is the one that said I catastrophize things and I should write a book because I'm always making things up in my head. And I had a friend whose parents kind of forced her to join the sorority. And this is my character. Mm-hmm. When she was in college, her parents forced her to join the sorority. And so I just always thought, what if that friend had to one day go back and run that sorority? And that's how I came up with this character.
So when you were, you know, for lack of a better word, growing up, when you were in elementary school, middle school, high school, and then to college, did you take a lot more literature or writing type classes, or were you going to be when you grow up? Yeah. What were you going to be when you grow up?
I was a geography major. I majored in geography and environmental studies. So I'm a math and science girl. I honestly hated English classes. I took them. I did very well. I took honors English in college. I placed out of an English class. I was always very good at writing, but I didn't enjoy it because we were always forced to write about topics that didn't interest me. You know, it never seemed like we got to do any creative writing. We did one creative writing project in high school, and my teacher entered me in a contest without even telling me about it. She told me about it after the fact because she enjoyed my work. And I thought, honest to God, when she said I entered you in this contest, I was like, why? I hate writing. You know, it's one of those things that being forced to write about what you don't care about is not any fun. So, as an adult, I was always the person at work. I worked as a map maker. I was always the person they would go to get articles written for publications or to get things edited that other people had written just because I'm good at that type of thing. And my dad several years ago said to me, you know, you should apply for jobs to be a blogger. And I said, why would I want to do that? I hate writing. I thought, well, wait a second. I'm a good writer. And what if I wrote about things that I enjoy? And, you know, I read so much stuff, and so much of it is not that great. And I honestly thought, well, gosh, I can write, and I could write something that I think is better than half of what I'm reading at the library. So why not give it a try? And that's how it happened.
And, you know, a lot of people think, okay, so the process would be, you would write your story and then you would pitch it to an editor and, you know, an agent and all that. And we all kind of have our own journey with this. You don't necessarily need an agent to get a book published. But you absolutely need an editor. Now, whether or not you go the self, you know, the indie route or the publisher route, how important is it to anybody listening to have an editor look at your story?
I think it's so important because, like I said, everyone thought I was a good editor, and I thought I was a good editor. And then I sent my work in to an actual editor who gets paid to do that kind of thing, and she found all sorts of problems, you know, that shocked me because I thought I was good and I thought I'd found everything. But so it's absolutely essential. I hate reading books where I find errors. And so I think a lot of people are like me, and they think they know how to write. They don't need an editor. You do, you know, and they don't have to be a super expensive editor, but you do need to go through that editing process with a professional.
And something other than your mom or your sister that tells you how wonderful your story is, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I think that too, it's hard because we all keep looking at our stuff, so it makes complete sense to us as
yes.
we're reading it. And there's all those little things that you don't catch, or the plot holes that we fill in mentally because we know the story. It's kind of like you have to tell the story as though you're hearing it for the first time. So
yes.
you know everything about your characters. Your readers don't.
Yes. It is so hard because you write and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite and add and subtract. And then, you know, it's hard to keep track of all that. And so
mm-hmm.
to give it a set of fresh eyes, even just from a beta reader standpoint, is so important so that person can say, oh, you mentioned this, but you hadn't talked about that earlier in the story, you know, and then I can say, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I completely mm-hmm. forgot to bring that up. So yeah, when you're the writer and you've looked at it 1,000 times, you need some fresh eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're just now tuning in to Readers Entertainment Radio, we're talking to writer Maggie Aldrich, whose book, It's All Greek to Me, is out. And this book came out last summer, and then you are presently writing the second book to this. Tell me about that book.
Yes. So the sequel, I can't talk a lot about it without giving everything away, but it answers a lot of unanswered questions from the first book. And
okay.
I originally
so there's
I hadn't
your mystery
been
factor, right?
Right, yes. I hadn't been planning on writing a sequel when I wrote the first book, but then so many people said, oh my gosh, what happens? What happens? You know, and so I decided to write one. And I'm in the beta reading process right now, so I've just this week sent it out to my beta readers, and then once they get it back to me, I'll make any changes and then get it to my editor and get the cover made and then get it out sometime this year.
Isn't that fun? That were you were saying that you were surprised about the reaction that you got from readers about what's more of the story. When you first
mm-hmm.
started reading it, were you just intent on saying, okay, I'm going to write this book, and then I'll be done with that, and I'll go to something else? Were you surprised that the readers were so pulled in and so invested in wanting more from that
book? I was. It makes me feel really good as an author that they enjoyed it that much that they want to read another book of mine.
Yeah.
So it really made me feel good and made me feel like I had done a good job writing that book.
Oh, for sure. And what was the character that surprised you the most, that got the most what happens to character?
You know, the character that I think people liked the most was, I call him Crazy Uncle Fritz. He's a private investigator in the first book that helps the main character try to find what happened with her family and find the reason behind the fact that her trust fund is being tied up. And he's kind of a quirky character that isn't in the book a whole lot, but a lot of people really reacted to him and liked him. And
yeah.
he does come into play in the second book as well.
Okay. And is he based on anyone you know? Can you say?
I can't really say.
Okay. Fair
I have
enough.
Had a few people say, oh, that sounds like, and I just say, oh, okay, well, whatever. I mean, so many people, it's funny how many people think it's based on them or someone they know, you know, and it's based on life experiences. Of course, authors are going to write what they know, and so they're going to draw from a bunch of people and experiences from around them.
Yeah. It's, you know, I find it funny because people ask me that too. You know, do you put those experiences, do you put family in there? I said, I think I like take this little quirk of this person and put it in this book, but then I'll take this little quirk and put it over here. And so
yes.
it's not necessarily the same person having all the little quirks. It's just, it's kind of spread out. Because
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, so it may be a little bit more than readers might want.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I worked in the emergency room for years, so yeah, I've got quite a few quirky people, let's just say, I saw.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come home and talk to my mom about it, and she'd like, you've got to be making this up. I'm like, really not.
I had a recent experience in the ER myself, so I can understand what
mm-hmm.
you're saying.
Right, because just sitting there and watching what's going on around you. I worked at the Children's Hospital next to Parkland in Dallas, and apparently people will take the bus and whatever and just go sit there with their lunches and just sit in the waiting room. It's like they said, it's better than reality TV because it's actual reality.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt a little unsafe, honestly, in our ER.
Yeah. There are
there was a man screaming. Yeah, a man screaming at the police officer, you know. So, yeah, it was.
Right.
I was happy to be taken back to a room when I needed it.
Yes. Yes, it's always an interesting ride, very unpredictable. So you've got this next book coming up. What's in the plan for after that?
You know, I have two other books that I had already started working on. One that's about at least halfway done, and then another one that's really in the beginning stages. The one that's about halfway done is a speculative fiction book about a teenage girl and her mom, and they travel back in time. And the other one is more of a cozy mystery. But I had started on those before I decided I wanted to write the sequel. So I had to put those on hold, which was really, really hard because I really get invested in my story and my characters. So I'm excited to return to both of those once the second one is all done.
So are you a planner or are you a plotter or a pantser? The terms, if you're not familiar, planner or plotter is someone who will plot out the whole story and then is able to go from an outline or a skeleton of such. A pantser is someone who just writes whatever scene happens that day and then ends up going, you know, eventually having a cohesive story. Where do you fall, you think?
I am not a plotter or a planner. I come up with the idea in my head, and I just start writing. I've always been a learn-as-you-go type person, and so that's how it seems to be. And I write my story, and then once I start getting stuck at a spot, I go back and I reread it. I make any changes, I make any edits, and that usually spurs me to move on a little bit farther until I get stuck again, and then I go back and I reread it. I do the same thing over and over until I get it finished.
Which is why you need an editor and a beta reader, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's just little things that you just won't even notice, and then someone says, why is there this, you know, half the page of 67 is missing. Oh, yeah, well, probably needed to put something there. So,
yeah
that's always it. So tell me, how much input did you have on your book cover? Because it is really, really pretty. If you listening out there is looking, Maggie has this adorable book cover about, it's just the house, this lovely woman walking up to the house, and it looks like all she has in the world is a suitcase and this very cute dress she's wearing. and it just kind of epitomizes the whole thing. So, I mean, how did you decide on that cover?
You know, it's funny. My daughter helped me come up with a kind of a sketching design. She sketched out a design for me. I knew I wanted a girl walking up to a shack, because that's the sorority house. And the book, the sorority has gone through a scandal, and they had to move out of their really nice house into this really dumpy shack. And so I went out and I found a book cover artist, and she told me what she could do for me, her different price levels and what pictures she had available versus what I could get on my own. So I went out and I found the picture of the girl, the cat, and the house, and I gave it to her, and I kind of gave her my conceptualized picture, and she made it work, and I absolutely love it.
So will you be using her also for your second cover as well?
I hope so, yeah, if she's available.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's really fun, and to hear, I mean, gosh, just, you know, heroine is just walking into just a huge mess of things in general. So she's just not having a good day at all.
Right. And that's the story.
So, yeah. And there you are. Were you in a sorority in college?
I was not. I have three sisters of my own, and I always said to myself, why would I want more sisters if I've got three? But
yeah, I got them.
I have a lot of friends that were in sororities, and I actually have a friend now whose daughter was a sorority mom when she was in grad school, which is crazy young. I would never, ever have expected someone to be that young to be a sorority mom. But, yeah, I have two friends, actually, that one friend whose daughter was a sorority mom and then another friend whose mom is a sorority mom. So I never thought I'd know so many sorority moms, but, yes.
Yeah, because I was in a dorm at Texas, and it was they were definitely not young women running it. It was definitely
right.
Much older women who looked like they had been there since the very beginning of the university opening. So to hear the young mom, that's actually kind of fun. You know, you're going to
mm-hmm.
definitely have a different take on it. But of course, you're supposed to be the supervisor, so that if
right.
layers in some delicious chaos,
mm-hmm.
as it were. So yeah, so Emily's definitely got her hands full. But you have a love interest in it, and you know, for those listening, tell us who the love interest is in this story.
Well, he's a contractor that Emily keeps running into when she first lives in Houston. This is before she's lost everything. And things start to fall apart. Her landlord says that he's selling the house and he needs to make some repairs, and of course hires this contractor to come do some work on the house, and he's not very friendly, but he's very good looking, and Emily and Michael is his name, kind of spar back and forth, because when she first finds him, he's already let himself into her house to do some work, but she didn't know anything about it, so she, you know, thinks someone has broken into her house, and
all right.
So they don't get along initially, and then when she goes up and becomes the sorority mom in a different town, she is going up to work on this shack, and they, of course, have to get someone in to repair the shack, and the brother of one of the fraternity guys that lives next door, or I'm sorry, the uncle of that fraternity guy comes to help them out, and it happens to be Michael, the same guy that was in Houston. So then they're forced to work together again because he's rebuilding their deck and helping them with the house. So they eventually get along.
Yes, I hope so, you know, after all that going on. So we were talking a bit about the, you know, the process of getting published and putting your stuff out there. What is some advice you have for people considering whether if you do indie, and indie means you sell what's called self-publish, or you go through
mm-hmm.
a publisher. What is some advice you feel like that could be for either group?
Right. You know, first of all, advice I would give to anyone is don't become overwhelmed. It's easy to be overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed when I started. There are a lot of good groups out there, like I'm in the Chick Lit chat group or and the Cozy Mystery Facebook group and a couple other different groups, and people are so helpful when you have questions, mm-hmm. and people generally are not judgmental. I mean, we've all been there. And I did try to get an agent for about a year, and I had a couple of agents write back and say, you know, I want to hear more, but then they would never get back one way or the other. And I'm not
right.
going to wait forever. I'm kind of an impatient person, and I know that I can get it out there. I would say indie publishing, it's my preferred choice. Traditional publishing takes a long time. It's never a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really expensive for the author. You know, they'll give you an upfront advance, but then if your book doesn't sell, you have to pay that advance back. And, you know, it can take years for your book to get published, whereas with an indie publisher, you know, you can publish it today if you want to,
right.
you decide not to get an editor and, you know, get a quality book cover and all that. But with the indie publishing, you want to go through Amazon or CreateSpace, which is part of Amazon now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to write your book. Joanna Penn is a great resource for how to get a book published if you're
yeah.
an indie publisher.
Yeah.
But you want to write a good book, you want to get it. I've decided to go the beta reader first and then the editor, and then I'll go back and make all the changes I need to make. Then I'm going to get my book cover done, and then you just put it all together and you put it out there. With indie publishing, you can go directly through Amazon, and you can stay exclusive with Amazon and have all these benefits, but you can also sell through almost any retail outlet if you don't go through Amazon, and you're not restricted. I have my book in a couple local bookstores here in town. I do have it wide now. I might take it back to exclusively Amazon just based on, you know, which makes me more money.
Sure.
But certainly, I do enjoy being an indie author, but if an agent came to me and said, hey, here's 10 grand, I know I can find a publisher, I know that this book will sell, and let's get on it, then I would certainly listen to that. I'm not stupid. But,
right, right, exactly. I think that there's a process. I think I was just on a group, went to a conference, and the big discussion there was, you know, indie or traditional, and the overall thought was your hybrid writers are the ones that are going to have the most staying power, because whether, you know, your indie stuff is doing well and it's taking, like you're talking about, sometimes it does take a while for the publishers to come out because they can't just have so many, you know, a ton of books out every month, because then it dilutes the field. So, yes, it may be a year, but in the process you could be doing these other things. And so then when your book is released by the publisher, that could spill over to your indie sale. I mean, it's like this back and forth. And so I think everybody should certainly consider both. It's just how do you start the market, but you're right, the quality should be there no matter what. Because if you have a terrible book, it doesn't matter whether it's with a publisher or with hybrid, I mean with indie, it's you know, you need to fix it. So yeah, I think there's there's definitely room for both.
Exactly,
and not being overwhelmed, that's a huge one.
And the traditional publishing, it's the most difficult part is marketing. I mean, it's difficult whether you're an indie or traditional. If you are a bigger name, if you've been a writer like in the newspaper or for a magazine, or you have a very popular blog, you're going to more easily get a traditional publisher, in my mind. If you're someone who's brand new to the field, it's more difficult, and that's why I chose indie, because I'm brand new. I didn't have any exposure. So, you know, a lot of people were saying, how many followers?
Right. Yeah, and it's a process for sure, because, you know, they want to know that you're sticking around and not a one-book wonder type situation. So, but I'm so excited because I feel like this is the beginning of an amazing journey for you.
Yes, it's been a lot of fun.
So we have about 2 minutes left, and so I just wanted to tell you thank you so, so much for being on the show today. If you want to find Maggie, she is on her website. She's on Facebook, on Twitter, and Goodreads, and her Facebook is all the links for her her social media is in the write-up for the day. It's Maggie Aldrich, Aldrich, writes.com, and you can also find her on Twitter, which is Aldrich Writes, and then she's on Facebook and Goodreads, and her book, It's All Greek to Me, is out on Amazon and other, as well as other venues, and you can also get print copies. This would be fun. Are you having any book signings coming up this year?
I am not. I have a local bookstore that's asked me if I'd like to do it, and I might consider it for my sequel. I've just done book signings for people that have bought directly from me, so...
So please keep us in mind, because let me know and I can shoot that out there and let everybody know when you're going to have a book signing.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We met, Maggie and I met on the Chick Lit group on Facebook. So if you are an aspiring writer or you have lots of writer questions, don't hesitate to look us up and we'll be on there. So thank you again for being on, and I look forward to seeing your future projects.
Thank you so much, Patricia.
Absolutely. And you guys, everybody, keep reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.